Portland's favorite morning roast.
I was listening to the boys this morning.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
They've got really good meat. They got great meat.
Dirt and Sprague.
No, dude, get right to the meat.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, the Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hopefully your hump days are off to a good start.
That's good shit right there.
The week is halfway done as we careen towards the full week of college football. Before I get to some college football stuff, which we will get to in a moment, are we excited for the return? Days of Thunder. Is that a Tom Cruise movie?
Oh, yeah. I thought you were referencing like a college football game or something. Like there's like a rivalry called the Days of Thunder.
You looked at me and I'm like, did I just say the movie wrong? I think I was.
Cole Trickle.
Cole Trickle. It's coming back.
I mean, I'm going to be disappointed Nicole Kidman and her kinky ass isn't in that movie.
Yeah, I think she makes a surprise.
No. I think she wants nothing to do with being on a movie show with Tom again. Yeah.
I don't know. No Robert Duvall. I don't know how you
Robert Duvall's dead. He's
gone. What do you mean? You still got John C. Reilly.
John C. Reilly's still ticking. Anne Hathaway's going to be in the movie. We don't know the context of her character.
Doing what?
Did you see the rollout trailer that they did for this? It's a little weird and uncomfortable. So
a trailer? They have a trailer
not
already?
Trailer's not the right word. They did like a teaser video, and it's Cruise and Anne Hathaway. And it's Cruise like setting up a camera, acting like he's doing it all himself. Like, oh, here, let's take a selfie video.
Okay.
And then he backs up, and then Anne Hathaway's in the shot, and you immediately can tell about Anne Hathaway one thing, and that is she is very pregnant.
Yeah, she's about to have a kid.
Yep. And so they back up, they're standing in front of a car, and then it says Days of Thunder on the car, and they kind of stand to each side of it as it says it on the side of the car. And at the end of the video, Anne Hathaway's like, yeah, I got to go have this baby first, and then we'll make the movie. And Tom Cruise makes kind of a weird and uncomfortable joke.
What's he say?
I can't remember exactly what, but like, I don't know. Yeah, you should do that or something weird. Like, and then it was like, end of video. So, an all-time classic for sure.
What I would say on
he did it with Top Gun, like everybody raves about.
No, I don't question if it's going to be good. I'm to a point with Tom Cruise and have been for quite some time. I'm just going to assume I'm entertained and I'm enjoying it. We had the F1 movie of Brad Pitt come out. I think that was last year or the year before. I can't remember. And I really enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. I enjoy those kinds of movies, jet engines, race cars. I'm interested.
Yeah.
The problem that people had with it is the amount of AI used, to which I understand that frustration. The good thing about this will probably be actually Tom Cruise driving a NASCAR at 175 miles an hour.
Probably.
At Talladega.
Probably.
On the slant of a track. And so that's the good thing is the lack of AI that we're probably going to have involved.
Is that
with
a
this
good
car.
Thing? Do we want that in our movies? I mean,
do you want him attached to a moving aircraft as it takes off? Hell yeah, brother! I'm not doing it, but I want to see somebody else do it. He did the stunt in the
was
last Mission
really
Impossible.
I know he did. I know he did. Was that really a complaint from F1? People are like, this is too fake.
Oh, yeah. It was just very
You want Brad Pitt to drive a car going 200 miles an hour?
It's not that I need Brad Pitt to drive a car. It's just the amount of fake
digital. You could tell it was. I never saw F1. You could tell
I thought
it was,
they did a good job with it. Yeah. I'm just telling you what some of the review feedback was
the takeaways
from
were.
Can we get a Days of Thunder, Ricky Bobby, Talladega Nights like crossover? Would that be more entertaining?
What would you rather have, a new Talladega Nights or a new Days of Thunder?
Ooh, that's a great
I think
question.
A new Talladega Nights.
You go comedy
well,
route?
We lost, speaking of losing Robert Duvall, we lost his, the Green Mile.
Oh.
Michael Clark Duncan.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
Michael Clark Duncan.
He died. He's not going to be in it.
It was his crew chief.
Yeah.
That's a good poll.
That would actually be a funny merge is if they came in the same race
and
they both lost their crew chief.
Give me. That's where you want to use some AI.
And then what is John C. Reilly, the guy who couldn't beat Will Ferrell, so he joins Cole Trickle's team
exactly.
again?
Exactly.
There's a weird mashup there.
I know.
I kind of like where you're going.
Let's get
with
some riders on this.
Now, Swag, do you remember the Days of Thunder Fever? That movie came out in 1990.
Yeah.
I was 1 year old, so I don't remember
that. That was sort of in the height of Tom Cruise.
You know, guess the Rotten Tomatoes rating of Days of Thunder.
Oh, I imagine it was
70.
It was lower than that. It was probably like 45.
38%.
Yeah.
Now, Rotten Tomatoes.
What's the crowd score? It's usually right next to
the Rotten. I mean, as far as, quote, movies.
Who hasn't wanted to stoop their concussion doctor?
Exactly. It was as predictable as anything.
I mean, duh.
Yeah, there's a 60%. looks 60%, like
60%, okay.
Fan yeah. score. 38% the
I mean,
reviewers,
they made a NASCAR movie watchable, right? Yeah. Like, how many people don't watch or follow NASCAR, and they're like, yeah, it's not a
became
bad movie.
Became a topic or yeah. anything that you were interested in watching.
I think the previous NASCAR movie before that was Six Pack with Burt Reynolds.
There hadn't been one since that.
They need to do a monster truck movie is what they need to do.
Dude, we got monster. I saw the ad on the motor board the other day.
Well, it's coming up.
We
it's
got
right
some
around
Hot Wheels monster truck
That's
events
the Bigfoot
going on.
Circuit, by the way.
Do
There's
I need
two
to take Teddy ball game
circuits.
To the monster trucks?
That one might be more fun than the Monster Jam.
He'd probably dig that, right?
Can he handle, is he okay with loud noises?
Oh, yeah, put the headphones on. Sometimes he gets, you know.
It's pretty loud.
It's loud to begin with, then you're in an enclosed arena.
Bringing in all those fumes.
Yeah.
I'd love to help with the making of, like, the rise of monster trucks, like, make that a movie.
Yeah.
The amount of cocaine that I would show.
So much cocaine.
With those mechanics working all night to fix the truck for the next day show.
How have we not gotten, that's a good point, like a feature film on Gravedigger.
Like, Bigfoot started monster trucks.
Yeah.
I'm surprised there hasn't been a monster truck start. Because it took over white America, man. It was like, oh my God, they're going over cars with trucks.
I saw this. Like, he was on Tom Cruise was on McAfee yesterday for like an hour. I kept seeing clips of it pop up on
social
media.
McAfee had Tom Cruise for an hour?
It was a long interview, yeah.
Well, yeah, if he had Tom Cruise, I'd also
he's not letting him go until his.
He did it when he had the Mission Impossible came out. Like, he's done that a couple of times with Tom Cruise.
See,
over
that's
the
when
years.
I get jealous of Pat McAfee.
Yes, like, that's an all timer to be able to interview. And I will give him credit. Like, there is the thing of when you go see a classic musical artist or somebody who's been around a long time who you've loved for a long time, what is the main thing you want to see when you go see him in concert? You want to see the hits, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to hear your new album. Like, I remember seeing Garth Brooks when he came to town, and there was a couple of songs
well,
that he played.
Well, from which seats? Because that makes the difference for a show.
The high up and the low down, both of them. And he'd play a couple of his new songs in random moments of the concert, and the building would be quiet.
Because nobody would know.
Give me the Thunder Rolls, man. Friends in Low Places. Give me the hits. I don't want to hear the new stuff. I will always respect that to a certain extent where we're inundated with, like, superhero movies in Hollywood. And it's Tom Cruise being like, you know what people want? They want nostalgia. They want the movies that they love when they were younger.
There's 10 Mission Impossibles.
Yes, keep making them. They did a Top Gun. It was a massive success, so you're going to do another one. Yeah. And now what's another one of his classic hits? Days of Thunder.
Yeah.
Bring it back.
What about a Jerry Maguire 2?
I'd love it. I'd watch the hell out of that show.
Would you?
I would. Or a movie. I think I would.
Vanilla Sky.
You had me at hello. I don't think I ever saw Vanilla Sky.
Oh, really?
I don't think I ever saw Vanilla Sky.
Weird movie.
I never did Vanilla Sky, and I never did, what was the sex one?
Eyes Wide Shut?
Eyes Wide Shut.
Oh, yeah.
There's all sorts of conspiracy theories about that movie, is there not?
What are the conspiracy theories?
It's a secret. It was highlighted. A bunch of people died that were involved in the movie before it came out kind of thing.
It's like Wizard of Oz. All the Munchkins were dead in the background.
Wait, what?
You never heard that conspiracy?
No, they're all, what?
They said in the original Wizard of Oz, if you look closely, I think they've edited it out, but there was a conspiracy that there was actually a munchkin in the forest when they found the Tin Man in the very back and just like...
Just hanging out? Well, not moving?
Well,
yeah.
Hang out, you tend to...
That's going to change the way that I view that movie the next time I see it.
Dude, Wizard of Oz is kind of a dark movie.
Yes.
There's some stuff that happened behind the scenes of that, the making of that movie. Poll questions up. Which NASCAR sequel would you rather have? Days of Thunder, Talladega Nights. You can vote at Dirt and Sprague. That is the poll question probably of the day. Is there a sequel to a movie you're surprised they haven't made? Because Talladega Nights is one people throw up, but like actually Will Ferrell's asked most about either Elf or Step Brothers.
Yeah, and he's done interviews about making a second Anchorman, and I think he did it because he wanted
they
to
did
make...
did do a second Anchorman.
No, I know, but he
one.
Only did it because there was another movie he wanted to make, and Adam McKay? Is that the director?
Adam McKay.
There was a movie Adam McKay, I think, wanted to make,
so
and they were like, you can only do this.
Okay.
Well, him and Adam McKay have separated.
Yes, since then they have separated.
Which is unfortunate because they made movie magic.
I mean, in that whole question, I would vote for Talladega Nights just because I feel like we have a bit of a hole of comedic movies like that
tell
now
me
like
about it yeah. dude
it's just like
well
I go to this theater
it would
theater
be easy
and it's a
to say okay
every preview
now Ricky Bobby goes to F1
yeah I mean, there's a million ways you could play it. Get the kids, where's that spider monkey kid dude, he could be driving now.
The funniest one would be Ricky Bobby going to a Baja race. He's fallen out and disgraced, so he has to go to Tijuana, Mexico to get his racing bona fides back, and now he's racing in Baja in California, on that circuit with those trucks. That would actually be a great setup. You open with him at some Mexican dive bar in Tijuana.
That's
he comes out to you, not shaven, his hair's fully grown out. Ricky Bobby?
I used to be Ricky Bobby.
And they show why he was kicked out, lost his family. That's how you got to do it. You can't put him back in like a big circuit.
Now he's just a
Diablo. How about this? Are you ready for this hot take? You ready for this sizzler coming in?
Oh,
the fan
no.
text line?
Oh,
I love a good sizzler. Yeah, we got to get a good sizzler in every now and then. I don't know where my sizzler drop is. I got it somewhere. There it is.
Sizzler.
Hot take. Talladega Nights sucks balls. It's one of the few movies I turned off halfway through.
Pete.
Give me Days of Thunder 2 every day of the week. Tom Cruise movies are better than Will Ferrell movies every time outside of Elf.
Epa!
Epa!
Wow. You guys just Epa at the same time? I mean, we just double A-pod?
You know how dirt feels?
Get the f*** out of here.
Not good.
I'm going to put that poll question up. Whose movies do you like better, Will Ferrell or Tom Cruise?
I mean, it's got to be Tom Cruise, right? When was the last time Will Ferrell came out with a good movie? He went on a hell of a run.
He had a run.
He had a run where he was dominant.
He was hot as hot could be.
He was the star of the show. Did you ever end up watching The Hawk?
I did.
I have not seen
good?
The Hawk.
I got through The Hawk.
You got through the whole season?
Not quite as funny as I had hoped. But it had some laughs.
There's laughs.
Chuckles.
I feel like that's a lot of his career.
But see, he's kind of one of those. He's not like overly funny often, but he... I can't put it into words other than to say there's something about his face that I like seeing on a screen.
He makes you smile. Like just seeing him and hearing him, it kind of makes me chuckle. He was in Barbie, right? Was he in Barbie?
Yeah, he was one of the executives trying to take
but
over
that,
Barbie.
Does that count as a...
That's not a Will Ferrell movie. He's in it, but that's not his movie. He was invited into it.
So Will and Harper was a great documentary. That to me is a little bit different.
But that's a more personal story with a friend and a story that's going on there.
Spirited came out with him and Ryan Reynolds in 2022.
I watched that every
It was
Christmas.
A fun spin on a Christmas
That's a fun Scrooge story.
I'll allow that.
Before that, if you're talking about like an actual movie, because he's in a bunch of like...
Yes, he's in a lot of small
parts.
Stuff, yes. But in terms of like Holmes and Watson was an epic failure.
Yep.
With him and John C. Reilly.
That was... I could not have been more disappointed in something than that one.
I'm scrolling through. You did the Daddy's Home series. I never saw any of those.
I saw the first one. I was like, eh. And then the second one came out. I was like, eh.
Get Hard. You know how long ago Get Hard came out?
I saw Get Hard in theaters.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. I thought it was funny, but like it's not a good movie.
2015 was when that movie came out.
Yeah.
Then there's Anchorman 2 came out in 2013.
You know, his kid is a really good musician. I think he's really been focused on... dadding more so than like making banger after banger.
But to the idea of who's got the better Rolodex, the highs of Will Ferrell's comedic career are great, but Tom Cruise has the much better Rolodex.
Tom Cruise disappeared there for a minute.
He did.
Yeah.
What was he doing? By the way, The Campaign is probably the last time I'd say.
That's a great movie.
Campaign's a solid movie. That was 2012.
Any secrets?
Any secrets you will get out now? Put a firefly in my butt.
Talk about a guy that's kind of falling off a little bit.
Talk about opens on
this. Galifianakis.
Yes, he absolutely has.
I watched his garden show on Netflix, but it's him just being serious and it's educational, but kids show.
I mean, Cruise goes back to Risky Business for crying out loud. Wasn't that his first headline?
Was that his first big one?
I don't know if he was in something before it, but that was, I think, the first time he was the lead.
Yeah, Will Ferrell is a very polarizing comedic actor. There's people that just swear or hope he didn't exist, and people who swear and love everything he does.
There's an aspect of I feel this way about Ryan Reynolds. Have you been inundated with the trailers for his new movie coming out on Apple TV?
Yes.
He's in Russia, right?
Behind Enemy Lines in the middle of cold
him
air.
And Kenneth Branagh.
A funnier version of Behind Enemy Lines is basically what I think I'm getting with
he's
that.
He's the same character in every movie.
Yes.
He has one.
But he's incredibly good looking.
He is.
He delivers his one-off lines perfectly.
What was the one with him and The Rock, and they're searching for like the treasure? It was a big Netflix hit. Red Notice. I saw it. I enjoyed the hell out of it. But he's the same character.
It's not a great
movie,
but you do enjoy it.
You're entertained for 2 hours, then you turn it off. And I see the trailer, and I see the jokes he's making, and I'm like, that's the same. That's Deadpool. That's every character you've ever played is the same thing. And I feel like there's that vibe of Will Ferrell to a certain extent.
I feel like with Ryan Reynolds, like as hot as he may be to people, I do feel like the wife lawsuit, you know, that whole ordeal has kind of knocked him down for people.
Yeah.
There's people that don't like him anymore because of that.
Yeah, I get it. Somebody say the Scientology underlining tones in his Mission Impossible franchise is a little spooky, especially the last two movies.
He also has a kid, Katie Holmes, and he just hasn't.
He cannot speak to. He can't. The church will not let him speak to her.
It's the oddest thing. It's one thing to say a relationship with somebody didn't work, and that, you know, you feel bad for people who can't figure that out.
Yeah.
I find it odd when celebrities have children and they have nothing to do with them.
Right. I couldn't imagine living that way.
I believe I have this right. Ann Edwards has been involved in quite a bit of kid off the court, different lady.
Mm.
I think he has a kid that he just acknowledged is, it's his kid, and he just has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, as somebody who's a dad now, the thought
that's
of
what
that,
I'm saying
like,
is I'm a dad. I can't fathom it. Even my wife divorced me and hated me
left
forever.
Me, you'd still find a way to be involved in your kid's
I'd want to, yeah, I'd want to be
in
there.
The biggest role possible that is allowable by the courts.
Right.
That would be your thought
like Brad
process.
Pitt's kids are just routinely dropping his last name from their name.
They don't want him to be, yeah.
Do you know how much you have to hate somebody to go legally, I want to get your name off of
and
my
and your
name?
Dad's Brad Pitt. Like, that's a celebrity name.
Yeah.
That carries some weight. Somebody saying a sequel to Tropic Thunder would be great. There's the idea that you can't make stuff like that.
What mockumentary are you doing?
Yeah, I know. People push back and say you couldn't make that movie anymore. It's like, you could.
I think in this era, the way society has trended, I'd say, yeah, you can.
I just watched Tires on Netflix, and I think that show was hilarious. Not everybody's the biggest Shane Gillis guy, but I find that show hilarious, and I laugh my butt off. I love 20-minute episodes. They're perfect. Like,
I'm not even sure Shane Gillis is the funniest guy on the show.
He's not the funniest guy on the show.
His cousin is
His
hilarious.
Cousin is the star of the show, and he's hilarious in every second of it. And they make jokes in that show. They're like, oh, you can't do that comedy anymore. You're going to get canceled. I'm like, no, you're not. That's not a thing.
By the way, almost nobody got canceled.
People don't get canceled.
Yeah,
I mean, people do, but, you know.
Yeah.
The ones that usually end up getting canceled are the ones that that deserve it. Yeah,
so are you looking forward to Days of Thunder 2 as the ultimate takeaway?
The ultimate takeaway is, yes, I am looking forward to it.
But you don't go to movies in theaters.
No, I see them when they come out at home. I got a long Rolodex of movies I got to get through this holiday season.
The one thing
I'm going to be coming out.
I would say, though, is as a moviegoer is,
yes.
I can only speak for myself. I'm getting quite exhausted. Like, every movie preview now is just...
scary.
Death Day.
Yeah.
Christmas in Hell.
You're trapped inside a kid's TV show.
Yeah.
And Barney's trying to rip your head off.
Remember Chuck E. Cheese? What if they killed you in that building? There was a Valentine's Day one I saw last year. It's like the Valentine's Day killer.
Who's going to take you
And I'm like,
out?
These are just movies with horrific, gruesome deaths. Is there any reason to make them?
It's all we got,
But
man.
People do. They show out. They go and see it. And I'm sitting there going, can I get some good comedies? Can we have a run of comedy come back?
It would be really nice, would it not? It feels like, and I'm sure there's some that people can throw out. Like, I just mentioned a show that I find funny. I'm sure there's movies that I haven't seen that people say, oh, if you saw Dirt, you would love it. And so the idea, we haven't had a good one for a long time, I'm sure is not factually correct. It just feels like that on the outside looking in. We got a couple of poll questions up. After it sprang on Twitter, one of them today. Which NASCAR sequel would you rather have, Days of Thunder or Talladega Nights? You can go vote on that at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. The early returns, overwhelmingly Talladega Nights.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't blame people. That's my vote as well. But Tom Cruise highlighting a new Days of Thunder movies coming out. I got sidetracked by that. I meant to talk college football there. We'll get to that. A revisit of some audio from earlier in the show a little bit later on. Let's give ourselves a full allotment of time for stat or story, though. Love my number. Love my story. Love
you?
My stat. I'm liking my chances
today. I'm going to surprise both of you with my story.
Ooh.
Oh.
Ooh,
it's flying under the radar. It's been in a group chat of, you seen this?
Have
and
you?
I'm like, yeah.
Huh?
What are we to make of it? I don't think it's going to register in your brain properly.
Okay. Took me intrigued. It's all of a tease. Stat or story, right around the corner on the fam.
Crunch the numbers.
There's 6,127 students at Adams, 58% of which are girls.
So?
So that's 7,107.32 boobs.
Break the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Is it a stat or a story?
Evidence based on olfactory prowess is inadmissible, in case you didn't know.
This is Stat or Story, a monumental judgment call with Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
That's right, folks. It is Stat or Story time. It continues to blow me away every time I read that the 49ers are on their way to Australia and the Rams aren't leaving until next Wednesday.
I think I want to talk about this maybe this week or we can even hold it.
Like, I mean, yeah, because the game will be next Thursday.
McVay McVay said they're going to leave even later than you think.
It's wild.
They might not even be there a full 24 hours.
I have no idea what's going to work, what the best course of action is. It will definitely be a takeaway from the game, depending on who wins. Like, the Rams might nullify any concerns about travel. If they go pull it off, look great, and win. If they go and lose...
Well, they've lost... The Niners...
I mean, they've had a bit of their number, yeah.
Yeah, Shanahan, McVay are always interesting games, so. Yeah.
It's just that, I just keep seeing Niners have, like, they're leaving today, and I'm like, man, the Rams aren't leaving for another week. All right, sadder story. Do you want to start us off today, Sprager?
I will start.
Okay, what do we got?
Your number is 132.
132.
132. Is it the place in division that team legendarily mediocre finish for Hood to Coast out of 309, surprisingly.
132 is not bad.
Or is it the price difference between the Kirkland wedge and the Titleist Vokey wedge?
I love that you saw this story. I'm actually, dude, all right, well, I'll get to it in a minute. I'm in the market for some new wedges whenever I get to play golf again.
Hello.
And I think I've done my research enough to know that's the route I'm going to go. The difference in price. Look, Vokey wedges are incredibly expensive. I got some faith, though. I got some faith. And team incredibly average or what it mediocre.
Legendarily mediocre.
Legendarily mediocre.
Yep.
I got faith in legendary media. I'm going to say 132 was the place you finished.
Okay.
Hood to Coast race. Give me a stat.
I'm going to go. Wait, which is the stat or story?
Well, who's the athlete in between this? The golf club or me? I'm a stat.
One's a piece of apparel.
My
the other
team
one
is a stat.
Accomplished a feat.
Then I will go stat.
You're going to go stat?
Yes.
Double stat?
Double stat.
Thank you guys for believing. You are incorrect. Yeah, we did, though, finish higher than we had a 934 pace as a team. Which
that's
is
pretty solid, dude.
Dude, that's great.
Considering the injuries, maybe some instances of walking and, you know.
Oh, there's definitely walking that
happens.
Having
to fill in for somebody who fell and got hurt. Like,
I would also add to this, it's great when it's 28 degrees cooler than it was the year before. Last year, we were a 1038 pace.
That helps.
This year, we're a 934. In our division, 309 teams in our division, we finished 122nd. So a little better finish than I thought we had had, which, you know, good job, legendarily mediocre.
Well done.
Everybody fighting hard. Yes, this is a story. So according to people who study golf clubs, Kirkland's wedges have been tested against Titleist Vokeys. And this is their third generation of Kirkland wedges. Overall, Kirkland tested first of all the clubs they tested. Vokeys finished third. Their spin was 9, tied for Vokey. Their accuracy was 9.1, higher than Vokey, 8.9. Their consistency was a 9 over Vokey, 8.4. The price difference is $67 for a Kirkland wedge, $199 for the Titleist Vokey.
Yeah.
For just price point example, you can buy the Kirkland wedge, 60 hot dogs with a drink, 10 double chocolate chip cookies, 4 chicken bakes, and still be left over $1.14.
Hey.
And then that's the price point of one Vokey SM11.
They did this with golf balls years ago, and
they
it became
did.
Very controversial in the golf world because they were they stealing technology? Did
well,
they take Pro
didn't
V1s?
We find out they did.
Yeah, they did to a certain extent. I'm pretty sure there were lawsuits that followed, but they still sell the Kirkland brand ball, to my knowledge.
That's all I buy.
And this is like, think of the blind taste test that we have in food. Like, could you tell the difference? This is Swigart and his wines. He's forever claimed that you could put a very expensive bottle of wine and an average bottle of wine in front of him, blindfold him, and he'll be able to tell the difference between the two. That has long been the thought in the world of golf, and Costco just blew up that model. Because that's what they did. They tested all of these with the TrackMan, the spin rate, all of the things that matter when you're swinging a golf club.
And Kirkland won.
And Kirkland won. They won the race, and they cost less than $70 a wedge. It's a game changer, and I don't know when I'm going to do it, because I'm probably done playing golf for the year.
Are you going to do it, though?
The next time I need new wedges.
You're
I need this
Kirkland's?
Like the next thing in my bag I got to replace. I'm 100% buying Kirkland wedges. Why would I not?
Well, the tough thing here is now, because of this, people think they're going to sell out and be impossible to find.
Yeah, that's all right. I'll wait for the next wave of it, maybe next spring.
Generation 4?
Yeah, get the next, you know, because they're not going to downgrade the technology behind it. You get me, because you, like, if you're playing in your head, how many wedges do you have in your bag?
I have a 56, a 52, and a 60.
You got three wedges in your bag.
Yeah.
Imagine all of those costing $190. Now imagine all those costing $69.
Yeah.
It's a game changer.
It's kind of crazy. Like, people that had Kirkland clubs probably were made fun of, you know, not in a serious way, but with their buddies.
There's a snobby nature to golf of like, oh, look at
this. I still get this with a ball. I will only buy the Kirkland golf ball because of the price point.
If people are going to snob over your golf ball, don't, like.
Yeah, I know.
That's a them problem. Yeah, I'm all in on the Kirkland wedges. All right, what do you got, Swag?
Your number is 1,100.
1,100.
Is it the total combined amount of passing yards allowed by Ducks defenses in the four previous games against Boise State?
Like 1,100 on the dot?
Yes.
1,100.
1,100. Or is it the weight of Tula Tu on her first birthday? This was the young new elephant at the Oregon Zoo. And they were a little concerned. Got a vaccine because the previous young pachyderm died, had a virus or something, never gained proper
weight. The vaccine killed the last one?
No. Didn't have the vaccine. There was some virus that I guess is predominant in pachyderms, and they've come up with one now.
Okay.
So Tula Tu turned one last month at the Oregon Zoo. Is that her weight?
So
1,100 pounds.
You said in the last four Boise State Oregon games? Is that what
yes,
you said was
the
last
combined.
Four?
They've only played four times
they've only
previously.
Played four time?
Boise State leads the all-time series 3-1.
This is a tough one because I think we both want to go story, but also, like, what are the odds it's exactly 1,100 on the dot as a weight?
For either of them, right? Yeah.
I'm going to go stat.
So I remember I was at the first one that happened was in Eugene. All of Oregon's quarterbacks got hurt, and Darren Thomas nearly led a comeback. Oregon was down huge in that game. It was a high-scoring game.
2008.
The next year, they went and played, and that was the Chip Kelly refunding
Blunt
the fan, LeGarrette Blunt. That was 19-8, I believe, was the final
so
of that.
Yes, it was.
I'd imagine there's not a lot of offense there. The third one was the Vegas Bowl. That was Kirk Herbstreit blocked you because Royce Freeman didn't play.
Yeah.
I think they threw a pick six in that game, and they got smoked. And then the last time they played, Oregon finally got the monkey off their back, but the majority of the offense
running
was Ashton Jeanty. They had like 230 rushing yards in the game. So I'm going to go story for that reason. I will go story because you have a non-big passing game. I don't think Maddox torched him 2 years ago. And then the 19-8 game, those are low numbers. That would be a 275 average for passing yards per all four. I'm going to go story.
You said stat?
I'm also going to go story.
Why are you following me? I'm an idiot, dude. Don't listen to me.
All right.
You made
so
good
the last
points
game.
I thought that was a good
those
logic
are good points.
Yeah.
Yes, it was 148.
Somebody, they got lit up. Must have been the first
the
game there.
The Vegas Bowl was 369.
That's a big one.
The LeGarrette Blunt game was 197, and the first game was 386.
They
it
got
comes
torched
out to
yeah
exactly
to 400 yard
1,100 yards.
Yeah, how about that?
Of passing yardage.
I'll never forget that first game. My buddy Dave and I were sitting in the student section. We left the game. Like, on our way out of the stadium, they were getting beat so bad, and then Oregon had this epic comeback, and we ended up sitting on the other side of the stadium, and they damn near won.
But no, Tula Tu, the Oregon Zoo's Asian elephant that turned one earlier this year, came in at 1,030 pounds, and they were very excited. She was 210 pounds at birth. And but there is I guess there's some virus that, you know, elephants raised in zoos in captivity, it was prevalent. And so they came up with recently a new vaccine, and Tula Tu got this vaccine, and now she is gaining weight at the proper rate.
There we go.
For her to be a happy, healthy pachyderm, and hopefully at the Oregon Zoo for years to come.
Cute little elephant. Have you guys seen the baby elephant?
Adorable.
Just adorable.
I mean, when is a baby elephant not
yeah
adorable?
That's true. When they get to playing, when she starts kicking that ball around, you get the ball tumbling around in that open space.
You know,
man,
one thing
cute
we saw at the San Diego Zoo, pygmy hippo.
It's a pygmy hippo.
It's exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah. A miniature.
It's a miniature hippo.
Hippo,
whoa,
which is still large.
Mind blowing.
How big does a pygmy hippo get?
I don't know the exact weight. It looked like if I put my two arms under its belly, I could pick it up and carry it and eventually
carry
have
it
to. But there's no way that's true.
No. Adult pygmy hippos weigh between 350 and 600 pounds.
Yeah, couldn't even budge it. But it looked
that's because
so
normal
adorable.
Size hippos are like 2 tons right, or something.
Right. Are they do they attack you at the same rate as a big hippo?
Well, also, like, would it kill me?
Probably. 600-pound thing coming at you, I think would take you down.
And their teeth are underrated, like, their
chompers.
Jaws.
That just is one.
Do they have horns?
Boot on the head.
Do the pygmy hippos have.
Do normal
no.
hippos have horns?
Oh, I'm thinking of rhinos.
Horns.
No, yeah. No, that's my fault. I was thinking of rhinos.
Yeah, no. No,
hippos
no horns.
Are pretty cute.
But the pygmy hippo was adorable.
Baby hippos are just, yeah.
Yeah.
All righty, last but not least here, ladies and gentlemen, your number today, I really hope you haven't seen this story, is 11. 11!
11?
Is it the age of the Mariner fan who came away with the one-of-a-kind gold Jimothy card at Jimothy Day at
yes.
Safeco Field that since sold the card for $20,000 on
wow.
eBay?
Nice.
Or is it the number of career receiving touchdowns for one Evan Stewart going into a pivotal year in which big expectations were placed on his shoulder?
Did you see the Mav guy who got the Cooper Flag card declined the Mavs offer and he's
yeah.
going to auction?
He's going
I did
to
not.
Auction.
What yeah. is the Cooper Flag card?
Remember, we talked about the Mavs
rookie...
offering like 32 years of season tickets.
Yeah.
And...
Oh,
no, that
right,
guy's
going
right. to get 7 figures at
yeah.
auction. From...
Smart call.
I mean, I hate to yeah. say anybody you get, you should sell immediately.
Yes.
See Paul Skeens.
Yeah.
Never know, dude.
Yeah, you just don't know how long the career is going to go. I'm going to go.
The age of the fan or career touchdowns for Evan Stewart.
So all touchdowns, like in round run?
Excuse me, receiving touchdowns. Receiving touchdowns, yes.
I'm going to go, this is a story.
You're going to go story?
I'm going to go story.
Okay. Swigard?
Go story as well.
Double story?
Yes.
Look at you guys.
We doubled everything and we all lost.
Everybody goes
he
over today.
Wow. He was 12.
A 13-year-old fan.
Okay.
11 touchdowns in their career for Evan Stewart. Mm. 2 his first year at A&M. 4 his second year at A&M. 5 his first year at Oregon. And then obviously missed all of last season. That is 11 receiving touchdowns. Yeah, it is a 13-year-old fan. So they had this a couple of weeks ago, I believe it was. At Safeco, they got that, you know, viral raccoon up there
oh,
in
yeah.
Seattle. Jimothy was running around looking all funny. So they had a big Jimothy night giveaway. And this is a brilliant idea for the Mariners, by the way, to capitalize on it. And they had a rare rookie card in there that was basically like, think of a golden ticket a la Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Like, hey, one lucky fan's going to win a one-of-one card.
Mm.
And it happened to be this 13-year-old fan. Her name is Abby. She's sitting there in her Mariner jersey. And they brought it down to her because I think they picked a random seat for the person to win it. Brought it down. It was like in a sealed briefcase.
Did they, or did they just find a cute, adorable girl and say, let's give it to her in that section?
Very well could be. But talk about a life changer. So they open up. It looks like a case of poker chips, you know, kind of thing. And they're opening it up next to her in the stands. She takes the card out. Her immediate reaction is what? Takes it on eBay,
there
and
go.
That card just sold on eBay for, what's the final price? $21,100.
So
you go to a Mariner game,
yeah.
you're just there, it happens to be Jimothy night, I bought tickets
got
2 months
that.
Ago, they bring you this, and you're $21,000 richer
Well,
as a 13-year-old.
I think the one thing, like I've always wanted to hit the in-game 50-50 raffles.
Yes, I always buy a 50-50 ticket
oh,
when
you
I'm
do.
At every game I'm at.
I largely don't, and then I get to the raffle, and it's like, you could win $17,000 tonight. Yeah. I'm like, damn it.
That'd be kind of cool.
Be awesome.
Unless I know I'm going to leave a game early, that's the only time I don't do it. If I know I'm going to be at the game the entire time, it doesn't have to be a big ticket, but I'll put a couple of bucks
dude,
up.
Dude, good for this kid, by the way. Not even hesitating.
This is the absolute right call. It's a raccoon.
Now, if Jimothy gets randomly put down like Harambe, does that improve?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well,
the
other
point
thing
of the car?
Is...
Without a doubt, it does.
Because right now, Jimothy's a one-on-one
yeah.
raccoon.
Whoever bought this card might be the guy who takes out Jimothy.
yeah.
Goes
just
to Seattle, sniper walking around
oh.
the neighborhood.
You take out Jimothy, you might have a problem on
yeah,
your hands, bro.
This is a fad market. Like
this
the
is
high...
like an NFT. Remember when NFTs were a big thing?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's paying
this
crazy amount of money
go
for
away.
It.
You are selling at the height.
How much screw around money do you have if you're spending $20,000 on a card of a raccoon?
Way too much.
We don't get very many wins over smart people. There were a lot of smart people buying NFTs, and I'm like, you idiots.
Yeah.
You're buying a digital cartoon.
What are you going to do with it?
It ended up being worth nothing.
It's a monkey that's smoking a cigarette, though, man. You don't get it. You don't understand it.
They had NFTs that were selling for like $50 million,
insanity.
And I'm like, what?
For what? You can't
How
even
are
touch
you
it?
Ever going to top that? Moron.
That is a rare. I got to be honest. I can't remember the last time we had an 0 for 6 day.
Remember when the NBA tried to do the NFTs
yes.
and they digitally gave people like bunk cards. And
I do remember
it
that.
It became a big thing.
But you never owned it.
You never.
That was the thing. You didn't actually own
but
the
But they were never good cards. Yeah. It was like Michael Olowa candy.
Michael Olowa.
What?
Remember when Adam Silver wanted you to put you on your VR goggles and watch Spider-Man play on the court?
Yeah.
That's how you get the kids.
It's all over Wimby's face.
This is what the people are doing.
What is what? Spider-Man? Oh. That's his web, I think.
Sadder story every Wednesday at 8:27 or 9:27, excuse me. Let's wrap it up on a Wednesday. We'll do it next on The Fam. Got some Kirkland Wedge talk coming in. The Fan text line.
Can I just note? I thought that was it's a really interesting story. A company that is largely known as generic off-brand thing.
I love Costco for
this
reason.
And now they're back. Like, they might be the number one.
Yeah.
I don't know if Swag could have cared less about a story than that. I don't think he can give me an opinion.
Yeah, you weren't engaged on the Kirkland wedges. Yeah, you sniffed down. Are you a golf snob? Laugh at people that play Kirkland golf balls?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I understand. I mean,
they're the number one wedge. That's crazy. They've beaten Callaway. Titleist.
I do enjoy my TaylorMade. Vokey 60 degree, however.
You're a Vokey guy.
Yeah, well, the Kirkland's better than your Vokey.
It is. Mm-hmm. Why don't you stick that in your pipe and smoke it?
Okay.
Somebody says, speaking of Kirkland wedges, I recently got a set of Kirkland Players Irons for $550.
I know.
Four through pitching wedge. I swear they are identical to the TaylorMade P790s. That's what I play.
I wouldn't be shocked.
And I love them.
Yeah. The ones I've always dreamed of buying if I had like disposable income, I've always wanted to buy the all black. I think they're the T1000 Titleists.
Those are badass.
God, those look so cool.
There's
maybe
some
like
cool
Batman
like,
out there.
Yeah, there's some cool specialty one-off like colorways that you can do with irons when you get to baller status.
Not that the colors make my game better. Hit those irons terribly.
Yeah.
But I have dreamed clubs, but Kirkland, you got to give them it, man. They deliver.
They do. This is the I'm not that far off in my life. You want to see this is the oldest thing I'm going to say in a while. I'm not that far off in my life for that being like my primary source of clothing shopping. I'm encroaching on that territory. Every time I'm there, I'm like, God, that's
a good
deal.
You already there,
Sprague? It's a good deal. And it's good quality clothing, is it not? It delivers.
I have four pairs of shorts that have been the most comfortable shorts.
Thank you.
They were $9.99.
Yes. Go to
I needed shorts. I can't find shorts. My wife's like, why don't you just buy these Kirklands? Yeah. And I went, I'm like, they actually look kind of nice.
Are we talking like athletic wear shorts or golf shorts?
No, like, well, I can do both. They
you can go either way.
Leisure shorts that I go out on a nice night with, or I can golf in them.
Go buy those shorts at Lululemon and tell me how much they're
costing. That's what I'm saying.
They are costing $200 a pair.
Now, do I get shamed by people in my family for buying Kirkland shorts?
No, this is ridiculous.
I still do.
For yourself,
damn it. I say, you know what? I got no shame. I'm still buying them.
I miss Kirkland sports drinks. Bring them back. Why don't they make that anymore? What happened? Knock off Gatorade.
The All Sport.
We were a big All Sport household.
Were you?
I mean, because we go bulk
All
shopping
Sport
at Costco.
All Sport was the soda drink, right? Wasn't it the carbonated sports drink?
Yes. Might have been, yeah.
Yeah.
It was soda's Gatorade.
Hey.
I liked it. I used to drink it.
Gatorade spritz for you. There you go.
I mean, I'm not like, it's so funny. You walk through the clothing part, and I used to laugh at like, who buys clothes at Costco? Like when you walk through
10 years ago, I said the same thing. My best jacket for winter is a Costco jacket.
Some of the most comfortable things I own are Kirkland brand Costco.
It's a great rain jacket, and it's got an interior zip to like it's like a thermal you can zip to be even warmer.
Dude, we do these like they make us sit down with salespeople every once in a while, and they're like, "So tell us the companies that you're interested. You know, who are you using? What are the places you're going? What would be a good fit for you?" And I love doing it. We love working with our sales staff. They're never going to do it because they don't need the advertising.
Costco doesn't need to do it.
Costco would be the easiest layup of all time. In terms of like a believable message from us as a show about, dude, where are you trustworthy buying your meat right now?
Costco. They don't have any Argentinian beef.
How you feeling about buying your meat elsewhere?
No.
I'm questioning that meat. That meat smells funny. Don't pull that.
I think there's one coming out about chicken wings, by the way.
Don't pull that. Wait, we can't eat chicken wings anymore?
I'm not going to say that with confidence. I thought I saw one earlier.
What's in our wings? What did we get in our wings?
Paint. It's almost like regulations are actually.
I got a quick follow up here. Quick follow up.
We need to regulate everything.
How does
everything?
How does paint end up in wings? How does that combination happen?
Yeah.
Warehouse, you know, God knows where.
Got a bucket of paint. Somebody just dropped a bucket of paint in the vat of chicken wings?
I don't know.
How does that happen?
I feel like I'm personally really close to identifying a local farmer and splitting a cow with like four people.
Yeah, just go buy a cow.
Getting a deep freezer and saying, dude, yeah. I don't want to worry about
this. I'll go in with you.
Would you really?
Yeah.
You guys want to buy a cow together?
I'd split a cow.
Who's got really a cow? Would. Who's got a cow out there for us?
Local farmer.
Hit us up.
All you need is one. One cow split four ways is going to be more junk than I have anything to do
with. Take care of, yeah.
We're good.
Where you at?
Top few months.
Oh.
Where my farmer's at.
Can I ask you this? So when we got done with Hood to Coast, you drive, if you're van one, to Astoria. Mm-hmm. As we got into, welcome to Astoria, we're driving to a breakfast restaurant, and I look to my left, and off of the highway is a van with like a legitimate paint job. Okay? It's not like some nondescript van.
No, no, no. Somebody paid somebody.
It's got a logo. Yes. It's painted. They have a tent. And I'm still kicking myself, but I'm also kind of glad I didn't. 20 ribeyes, $39.
The concept is questionable.
20 for $39?
How does that, yeah.
How's that mathing?
That's not mathing. That's
but
not
also,
mathing.
Like, what if that was as clean a ribeye and it's as just a local guy and he's got all this extra steak?
I want to get rid of it.
But I can still make some money if I, you know, 20's a lot. They're probably not the thickest cut. But
yeah, thinner cut, not the best.
20 for $39?
My antennas are up there, but I'm intrigued.
A lot of antennas up.
If
antennas
it was a white van with no paint, I'd
I'm
be
out.
Like, dude, no.
I'm out.
There's fentanyl in that steak. But there was like a bowl, like it was a bowl painting and he had like a name on it, and I'm like, dude, what?
Well, we do have a bit of NFL news to close up the show today, and not that it is a surprise, because I think we all expected this to happen.
But it is official.
Kirk Cousins will be your starting quarterback of the Oakland Raiders.
Something burning in our studio, because something stinks, like burnt popcorn. You smell that?
I don't have anything in here.
Can we preemptively blame meringue? I'm eating an orange. I got an orange.
It's not an orange smell. It's like a burned popcorn smell. What's the news? Sorry.
Kirk Cousins is starting.
Kirk Cousins will start week one for the Raiders.
What week is Mendoza in?
The last six quarterbacks that were selected number one overall started as the opener. The last six. So this is ending a streak of six in a row.
I have no problem slow.
Let's see. They got the Dolphins at the Chargers at the Saints.
Yeah, something is definitely burning.
Chiefs at Patriots.
You smell that? Who's burning popcorn out there? It's seeping into the building. I'd say week five.
Yeah, I think 5-6 is the area I'd say.
I think the over-under would be 4.5.
5 is at the Patriots. 6 is home against the Bills. 7 is home versus the Rams.
What is also... I mean, you have to worry about this with Kirkers.
You have to worry about
Kirkers
getting blown up.
Yeah, does he make it out alive in the first month of the season?
Are you in on Mendoza?
I'm not in or out. I don't have a. I know that's dumb. I don't have like a.
We pay you for it.
I don't like, dude. I see why the Raiders love him. I certainly would have taken him number one overall. It's also like so much of that will come down to, did they make the right hired head coach?
I know.
Does their $1 billion investment on their offensive line, it seems like, and the richest contract in center history pay off? And then this year I'm out. This year they're going to blow. They're going to be terrible. The Raiders are the Raiders. Go look at their wide receiver room, dude. He has no – like.
It wasn't great last year.
It was horrible last year. It's going to be horrible again this year. They desperately need to go find a guy.
Well, they need to draft somebody.
And hey, you suck this year. You know who's going to be the top of the draft board next year?
Yep.
You get the number one overall pick again. You pair Mendoza and Jeremiah Smith.
Well, you probably trade that out.
With Brock Bowers.
Down. And
maybe you do that, sure.
Trey Tucker, Jalen Naylor, Jack Besh, your projected starting wide receivers.
That's horrible.
That's not great.
It's horrible.
It's Bowers is your number one.
And Genty's banged up, who you're trying to build your offense around. He's banged up going into the start of the season.
I think for the long term, I'm in on Mendoza. I think he's committed enough to it. He's got all the athletic traits that you would want. He's smart enough to figure it out eventually, I think, long term. But he might be slower getting there.
Is he going to be a franchise quarterback?
Yes. For somebody, yes. I don't know if it ends up being the Raiders.
I think he's got the work ethic and the drive to eventually
get
there.
He might pull a Baker Mayfield.
Isn't most of this about Kubiak?
Probably.
A lot of it is. In stop one, at least. But as we learn, sometimes stop two is where it pays off.
Yeah,
so even
if
the Raiders don't have success, does he land somewhere else where they know what the hell they're doing?
Yeah.
But I love the Kubiak hire. He had moments in preseason. Like, he threw some bad picks. But that's what preseason's for. You're supposed to go make mistakes. That will do it for us, folks. A reminder on the show tomorrow, Jamarcus Shepherd will join us at 7 o'clock.
They're bright and early.
9 a.m. game on Saturday against Houston on the road.
Who is number two on the dirty pole?
Could it be Oregon State? Could it be the Beavs?
Could it be A&M?
Could it be A&M?
Oh, my God.
It could be anybody. Anybody's guess.
What about Utah?
Is as good as mine. Could be Michigan. Who else haven't we done yet?
Knowing you, you'd make it Boise State.
I'm a big Clemson guy.
Hey. You don't admit your own team, put Boise State too.
Nobody's giving us a chance. Today was Indiana. Great stuff from our friend Don Fisher, the longtime voice of Indiana. And go check that 105onthefan.com. At Dirt Springer, at 105onthefan on Twitter. Thank you so much for being a part of our Wednesday, everybody. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. The Firm. If Harrison Meringue is next, you're listening to 105 on FM The Firm.